You're on the Front Porch. This week, we'll talk about noodling. It passed. What is noodling? You'll find out. And we're going to talk a little bit about the bill that the governor just signed that would eliminate the Secretary of Education and the Arts. And then finally, the bill the governor just signed that would require add a work requirement to people who are receiving SNAP benefits. That's the new name for the food stamp program. We are joined by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott. You're already getting sort of a northern Vermont-y kind of accent.
I've been talking to a lot of people up there in the preparation for my move to Vermont, and I'm already self-conscious of the y'alls and, you know, dropping the G's and things. Am I going to be ridiculed out there?
Probably not, but you might want to work on saying snoll. You know, work on your O's. They really do something weird with their O's up there.
All right, thank you.
Cheese and crow, that's like the big thing you say in Vermont.
Cheese and crow?
No, cheese and crow.
What does that mean?
It's sort of like a way, you know how people will say, you know, Jesus' name, like when they're, like, is it just as an expression?
But it sounds like Jesus and crow. Is that what they're saying?
Jeezum crow. Yeah, it's capital J-E-E-Z-U-M, capital C-R-O-W.
All right. That makes no sense to me, but.
Jeezum.
Oh, and we're also joined by Jesse Tryon. She's a PhD economist and the development director at the Cardinal Institute. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Scott.
First of all, let us discuss the change to how the SNAP program will work in West Virginia. SNAP is Supplemental Nutrition for something. What does it stand for?
Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
And let me see if I understand this correctly. During the economic crash, we're talking back in, like, you know, 2009, 2010, this is the Obama administration, there was basically a waiver where states could allow able-bodied adults to be able to receive food stamps without meeting a work requirement. This is a requirement that they either volunteer a certain number of hours or that they work a certain number of hours in order to get food stamps. And now the legislature has passed a bill and the governor has quietly signed it to basically allow West Virginia to bring back work requirements for certain able-bodied adults. Am I getting that right, Rick?
It's probably more about time limits than anything else. Let's just start with the basics. They did a pilot in 2016 in the 9 counties with the strongest economy and the lowest unemployment rates. And what they found were that hardly anybody actually got a job of this group, but about 5,400 were cut off. And the demand for, you know, for charity meals, for soup kitchens and things like that went up about 30%. If we're evidence-based, it didn't work very well, and it took a lot of money out of the economy. And they're going to work toward doing it statewide in places like McDowell and Wyoming and Calhoun and Clay.
Well, so, okay, but the argument for it is it's sort of a moral argument, maybe a moral hazard argument, which is if you are able-bodied, why shouldn't you have to either volunteer or work in order to receive a government benefit?
I'm all for it. I think we should have a full employment program. I'm seriously down with that. It would be a huge step forward. Unfortunately, they don't really have the infrastructure to place people. A lot of these people don't have transportation. They might already be working, but not, say, working 18 hours a week or taking care of somebody or have their own issues. So, yeah, if you had the place to put them, let's do it right now, but there's not. So you're just going to have a big cutoff, and a lot of money is going to be out of the state economy. And charities, which to a person, religious groups all over the state came out hard against this, especially Catholic Charities, which really picks up a lot of the brunt of this. So
this was reminiscent to me of the 1996 welfare reform, which you studied and even were, you know, part of writing a book about it here in West Virginia. They basically, your argument, if I get it right, is that when you take away a program like this for able-bodied adults in West Virginia, it doesn't necessarily encourage people to find work here. Instead, all it happens is just makes people poorer and more desperate. Is that a fair analysis of what you're saying?
I think that's what the evidence shows happened in the last couple of years. And again, the thing about this money is it's a really quick turnaround in the state's economy. We're not talking about state dollars. This money goes straight. It's like a pass-through to groceries and businesses and things. So.
Well, Jesse, what do you say about all this?
The first thing that I want to bring up is the pilot that you referenced and how much of that is an indictment of the West Virginia economy, because let's be honest here, having, you know, the strongest economy in West Virginia kind of isn't saying a whole lot.
Well, you know, there's a saying, and I think it's the Gospel of Luke. This is Holy Week, right? So I just love the fact that you know, poor people got slammed during Holy Week. Jesus said when he's about on the way to the cross, says, if they do this when the wood is green, what will they do when it is dry? And so if you see something like this happen in the counties with the strongest economy, what do you think is going to happen in all the other economies where you have, you know, less employment, where you have more transportation issues and other things? And also able-bodied is sort of, a lot of these people probably are not all that able-bodied. They just haven't been certified.
At the end of the day, this is really about anger from workers, taxpayers, a lot of them, who just feel like I'm working my butt off. I'm barely getting by. The government's not doing a lot to help me. And there are these people that are often in my community, sometimes in my own family, who I look around and see getting all these benefits that I don't qualify for.
See how we like living on $4 a day for food, because that's the average SNAP benefit. So,
but you know the resentment. I mean, it's real, right? And so that's where it's coming from.
How do these people come from work? Most people on SNAP live in a family where somebody's working, so...
Most people,
SNAP benefits go to working families.
I get that. But these people that would lose their benefits, if they're working, they don't lose their benefits. And so you're talking about a group of people.
They could be working, but not 20 hours. They could be working less than 20.
Or working under the table, which happens a lot in West Virginia.
Non-custodial parents, for example, or you know, a lot of different cases. I just say what's going to happen. I'm big against predicting the future. You're going to cut a bunch of people off. There's going to be money taken out of the economy, and charities are going to be already overstressed. And we're going to work to document this so the people who did it will own it. I mean, it's on.
Well, as long as we're talking about the legislature, let's add a conversation about another bill the governor signed this week to eliminate the Secretary of Education and the Arts. And the bill essentially takes the programs that were under that secretary and gives them to other parts of state government. The West Virginia Educational Broadcasting Authority, which is the legal name of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, is one of those agencies. It's not entirely clear where we end up in government. What's important for me to always say is that we work for a board. That's the Educational Broadcasting Authority Board that's appointed by the governor and certified by the legislature. At the end of the day, that's who I answer to. Jesse, you've been watching this. What's your reaction to the bill and its impact?
From the surface, when you hear the phrase, you know, dismantling of the Department of Education and the Arts, you think, oh, okay, this is going to lead to some streamlining of government, eliminating duplicative services. And it seems like there's going to be some of that. But then on the flip side, where there's also that Governor Justice wants to create this Department of Arts, Culture, and History, it seems like we're just sort of closing down the store and then we're going to slap a new storefront on it and call it something different. But it's not clear to me that this is a huge structural change, that this is doing anything to streamline government. And a further question that I would have here is promotion of arts and culture and history, does that really fall under the proper purview of government action? And I think that's a broader question that a lot of us should chew on and think about.
I don't have a problem with the government having a role in promoting and celebrating culture and bringing people into West Virginia. I mean, you know, I don't want to live in an Ayn Rand kind of state. But one thing I have concerned about with this bill is what's going to happen to the different agencies, the different things on there when you have something to really shake it up, things like National Community Service, which you initially came to West Virginia on. You were in AmeriCorps, right? And the Energy Express and professional development, things like that. So when you shake it up, I wonder what's going to happen. And then, you know, you just wonder, I would like for West Virginia Public Broadcasting to have a pretty good, strong degree of independence.
Well, I can say that, you know, I've been here twice. I was here for 5 years running the place, and I was here before for 4 years as a reporter and news director. And I can say with all honesty that never once did I have any interference or witness any interference in our editorial content, whether it be a show like The Front Porch or whether it be our news stories. And I can point to several examples of stories that we've done that may not have always pleased the powers that be. And I can say that never once did those powers that be ever try to do anything to stop a story from happening. That's something that is a bedrock belief here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting that you and the listeners and the viewers shouldn't worry about. That's something we'll never let happen.
Well, I'm just going to say that as a product of one of the programs with under education in the arts, I went to Governor's Honors Academy in 2006. And by far, I will say it was a really fantastic experience. Some of the friends that I made there, you know, it's been 12 years since we all were at Fairmont State that summer. And I've been lucky enough in the past few years with friends who have gotten married, and we have traveled far and wide. And about once a year, we get the chance to get back together. And so that was a really transformative experience. And my heart sits here, and I want to preserve that, and I want to fight for it in its own way. But from then, like, the more analytical side of me, from a taxpayer perspective, it's 160 of, you know, some of the best and brightest students in West Virginia. It's brought together a lot by taxpayer dollars. And it's a very difficult program for me to sit here as from the analytical standpoint and defend from a taxpayer type of perspective. But I love GHA, GHA forever.
Speaking of efficient state government, important bills passing, the noodling bill, what's the fate of that?
Okay, I believe that the bill that finally passed was signed, I think it was today, I think SB 451, and it does sort of clear up the status of noodling in the state of West Virginia, which I think is a tangible sigh of relief out there.
How does it clear up the status of noodling? And remind our listeners, the three who don't know what you're talking about, what
right.
is noodling?
Well, three is pretty much our total audience, right, Scott? So so it's important to really clarify that. So, like, noodling is the practice, which my dad told me about and I didn't believe because he was a pathological liar. Well, not pathological. He was more like an endearing liar. But anyway, you stick your arm like up in, like, it's hard for me to even talk about it without gesturing. You guys can't really get the benefit of this on radio. But like, you stick your arm up a hollow log or a hole and you insert it between the mouth and the gill of a catfish, a big catfish, because it's got to be big enough for your arm to go through the gill. And you pull the living catfish out barehanded. So what this bill does, I mean, among other things, I just really looked at the noodling part of it. You can noodle. You need a fishing license to noodle unless you're exempt from the requirement to have a fishing license.
So it's a legal way to fish, but you still need a license to do it. You can't just have any old person run out there and start noodling.
Like, if you're a senior, if you're military on leave, if you're a kid, you can noodle. Personally, I would be inclined, this is my libertarian side coming out, if you got the guts to stick your arm up in there and pull something out and knock yourself out, baby. Although there should probably be a limit, you know, on how many you can noodle.
So this is not the first time we have discussed this important issue
not.
On the front porch. The last time we did, I asked our audience of three to tell me if there's been, you know, examples of you doing this or hearing about it. All I got was one guy saying, you know, he remembered his father going turtle hunting, which is a related,
braver,
which is a related but different activity. And I've seen pictures of noodling in places like Arkansas and Oklahoma, which have more, you know, flat land and more lakes and things. I am still skeptical that noodling is actually a common activity in West Virginia.
I mean, we may see noodling kind of go on the uptick. That's like that slogan, I'll give up my noodling when you pull the catfish from my cold, dead hands, right? I mean, that's where that saying comes from, I believe.
Well, okay, so noodlers, you're free to noodle. I'm sure this was weighing heavily on you because West Virginians are sticklers for the regulations. Rarely do we ever, like, you know, bend the rules or break a law. And so now you can noodle with the freedom of knowing, as long as you have your fishing license or you're a senior or exempt, you can noodle in peace. So thank you, lawmakers. Thank you, Rick Wilson. Rick Wilson, you already given us your Bible verse, right?
I did.
So check. You have anything else to say?
Check that off. Just keep on noodling in the free world, guys.
You know? We're also joined by Jesse Troyan of the Free Market Cardinal Institute. Jesse, thanks for coming on.
Always a pleasure.
I'm Scott Finn, Grand Poobah, West Virginia Public Broadcasting for now. Soon to be Chief Dog Catcher at Vermont Public Radio. Thanks for listening.